Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings are not just for the young. We seem to be having a little technical difficulty this afternoon. It seems that we got on late. We're having some problems. Well, the enemy is a liar, and we're going to get started on our study for this evening. We're talking about kindness this evening, and you have myself, Sue, Suzanne, and Brother Clay on the line. Brother John is on the line with me, and we will be going over scriptures pertaining to kindness. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, we have been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look on our line, also you see, if you check us out online or in the archives, or if you're looking at our upcoming episodes, you will notice that there you'll find the fruit of the spirit there too, that we've been going over for the last few weeks. Well, anyway, today is kindness. Today is kindness. Last week we discussed patience. We're discussing kindness today, and next week it is goodness. Kindness. The scripture that I'm looking at is from Romans 11:22, and it says, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off." That's Romans 11:22. So what is kindness? What does that mean? Well, my understanding of what kindness is, without looking up the Webster's dictionary definition, would be the way that I interpret kindness is caring and loving acts, being benevolent, giving, sharing, being thoughtful, being careful of one another's feelings, to show concern. That's what kindness is to me. So I don't know if that is your definition, but let's see what the Lord says. Let's see what the Lord says. If you'll go with me to Galatians 5:22. Galatians in the New Testament, and if you remember, we talked about the order, how I learned it. It's God's electric power company. Galatians, Ephesians, God's electric power company, Philippians, and Colossians. So we're looking at Galatians 5:22, and let's see what it says. 5:22 says, and I'm reading the Serendipity Bible. The Serendipity Bible is the New International Version, and this is a great Bible for personal and for small group Bible studies. It gives a lot of information. It gives the background information before you enter into the study, which is very, very helpful, and at least it is for me. So let's look at 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And I'm going to go on to 23, and it says gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So which spiritual fruits are blossoming in your life? I believe I asked that last week. Which ones are blossoming in your life at this time? Is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control? Or should I say, which fruits of the Spirit are yet to bloom? One of the biggest changes in becoming a Christian is changing your lifestyle. If your lifestyle is very contrary to or very different to that you believe that the Lord or that our word tells us that we should be living. So sometimes we have to purposefully make an effort to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm sure that we can identify those fruits, especially when someone is sharing that fruit with us. Let's go on to Romans 2:4. Now, if you're in Galatians, if you go backwards, go left in the Bible, you'll run into Romans. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. I believe we talked about this one last week, didn't we, Brother John?
Amen.
God's righteous judgment. We talked about this last week. And I'm going to go back with that one. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for those who judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same, do you think you can escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing God's kindness leads you towards repentance? Amen.
Yes.
So if God is kind and merciful, if God is kind and merciful, shouldn't we also be kind and merciful with one another? Should we not show consistency of the fruit of the Spirit as we interact with one another? I think about like growing up in the household that I grew up in, and our parents, as a parent, you have opportunities to teach your children about the kingdom of God, the things of God, in everyday interactions with your children. So even when, and I'm saying that to say this, that as a parent, even when you see a child make a mistake, we correct the mistake, we show them, we guide them, we correct them, we discipline them, but we don't stop loving them, and we still exercise or extend them kindness and mercy in spite of the fact that they needed the correction and the discipline. You see, not to correct or discipline is not an act of love. If you love someone, you want them to know how to behave. If you love someone, you don't want them to continue making the same mistakes over and over and over again. You want them to be able to grow and become the best that they can be. And I know that's how the Lord looks at us too. So in our dealings with one another, we should remember that this is the way that we want the Lord to deal with us, that in his judgment and his righteous judgment, that he would be merciful and kind to us, that we should also be that way and extend those kindnesses and mercies to those around us, to those that we work with, to those that we live with, to those that we lead, those that we parent, those that we serve, and those that serve us, that we should extend mercy to them and kindness to them. And there's so many ways we can extend kindness. I think about the book Random Acts of Kindness, and actually the first version of that book came out in like the 80s. And there were great stories. The book just took off, the different versions of the book, and short stories and essays from different people pertaining to random acts of kindness and what people have done or said that made a difference in someone's life. I want to challenge you this evening to do that, to make it a purposeful effort to extend kindness to someone, to commit a random act of kindness, to bless someone. Let's see how that moves on. I don't know if you've heard or saw the movie, Pass It Forward. And a little boy was given a social studies assignment, and in his assignment he decided to bless someone. And he wanted he wanted that person, the only thing that they had to do in response was not to pay it back, but to pay it forward. That was the name of it, pay it forward. But to pay it forward, so to do something for someone else. And the pay it forward, that pay it forward movement just caught on like wildfire. Well, the same can happen right in your own backyard, even today. And it does happen. I remember one time going to the gas station, and Lord knows I didn't have a lot of money. And I put the gas in, and this particular time I needed to go in rather than, you know, use a credit card at the pump. I went in to pay for it, and when I got to the counter to ask for my, you know, that I was going to pay my $20 of gas, the gentleman told me it's already been paid for, that this person has just left, had bought gas for me so I could go out and, you know, and basically fill my car up. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. And I can remember another time right at church, and I left my Bible on the seat. I had my children. It was a time when a stressful time, a crisis time in our lives. And anyway, the children weren't sitting in church with me. They were in the children's church. And I left my Bible and my purse at my seat. And I walked up to the pulpit for prayer. And I went to the pulpit, and I received prayer. Someone prayed over me, and I stayed there, lingered a little while, and came back to my seat, and I'm praising the Lord and so forth, and then the sermon starts, and I'm listening to the sermon and so forth, and I opened my Bible to wherever we were, and I noticed that there was something in the Bible. Well, someone had slipped money in my Bible when I had gone up, believe it or not, and blessed me. And I just looked around, and no one said anything. No one gave, you know, any kind of look which would give me the idea that maybe they were the ones that the culprit in that great situation. But I was blessed. And just sitting here, I can think of another time when my car, something was wrong with the car, with the engine, and it was something that should not have been wrong. And I took it to a mechanic from church, and this particular mechanic, who was also a minister, told me that what I should do would be to write the company and explain it to the company and explain my situation. So I did, and the company, which was Mitsubishi, because I want to say that to their benefit, so that's a plug for Mitsubishi. So Mitsubishi covered they paid for most of it. I'll put it that way. I believe they paid for the entire part or gave me the part, and I believe most of the installation as well. But there was a part of it that they did not cover. And a family blessed me, that particular family blessed me and paid the rest up So now, how have I been able to return the kindness? Well, I remember at one time being at the grocery store behind a lady. And the lady didn't have, in fact, this happened twice with at a grocery store. This woman didn't have the money to pay for her food. And so I paid for it for her. And I just told them, just put it on mine. And she kept saying thank you, and, you know, and she went out, and I told her, you know, someone would have done it for me. Someone's done good things, you know, has blessed me, that it's not me, that it's the Lord. And I can think of another time doing something like that of that kind, or wearing, I remember wearing a pin that a lady admired, and she'd always, every time I'd wear it to work, she'd have something to say about it. And it was a beautiful pin, and someone had blessed me with it because I had admired it. So that became her blessing. That became her blessing. And it just so happened to have been an angel. Praise the Lord. So look for, we have to look for time to bless others. We need to look for time to bless other people in ways that we can bless other people. So it may be simple things. It may be volunteering at church, which I get to do next week. It may be helping the sick or bringing visiting someone in the hospital, or you know, cutting someone's grass. My grandson was kind enough to during the winter months, with the snow, he'd come home and he'd shovel our driveway for us and our walkway, and then he'd go over to the neighbor's house and shovel their walkway, which I thought was very, very kind. And I don't know if they even ever realized that he was doing it. I know a couple of them noticed him. But he'd just get his shovel, and he, like, needed to burn the energy, and it was a good deed. It was a good deed. So we have to look for ways to show kindness to people. Our world is such a big place right now that sometimes people feel lost or ignored or invisible. But they don't have to be. They don't have to be invisible. We need to make sure that even though people aren't, like, communicating like they used to, that even with the new forms of communication, like with the social media and Facebook and so forth, texting and Instagram, and I don't even know all the rest of them. Brother John and Brother Norm should be helping me while I'm talking with all of them. But But you just never know how you could bless people. You know, just a little message, just a little word, I was thinking about you, may bless someone. So actually, people complain about social media and the instantaneous ways that we can communicate now, but there are a lot of benefits to it because it is immediate, because it doesn't take much effort. You don't even have to buy a stamp. How about that? How about that? We're going to go on with our scriptures. Actually, I didn't even say this. Pray. So if you're on the line with us, if you're listening on the computer, why don't you give us a call at 347-237-4054 or pass it on to a friend. Text a friend and let them know. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, the first day of May of 2013, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper into our episode. Into this episode of our program, Once I Pray. Father God, I thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity to share the word this evening, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the fruit of this, for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that are instructions to us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that as we read and learn more about kindness, then we will also learn more about your character, Father God, and understanding and appreciation for the kindness and the mercies that you've extended us, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. We worship you because you're almighty. We worship you, dear Lord, because you are our creator. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. You are the Lion of Judah, and we just worship you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us to interpret this word rightly. So let's go on to Romans 11:22.
In Romans 11:22, this is about the remnant of Israel. And that verse reads, I'm sorry, the engrafted branches, and that does. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. See, we are a branch. We're a branch that's been grafted in. So as the Gentiles, the Jews, are the chosen children, but we've been engrafted in. And I love the way that the Lord uses agricultural symbolism and for us to understand. I remember my grandmother talking about how you can have a tree and have peaches and apples on the same tree. And so we said, well, Nana, how do you do that? And she says, that's how you go, when you graft, when a piece of another tree is engrafted in to a tree, that it'll grow up together, that the main tree will begin to take care of the engrafted piece until the engrafted piece is able to grow, and it'll grow together. It'll nourish the engrafted piece. So if we think of ourselves as those branches that have been, as Gentiles, as branches that have been engrafted into the family tree of Jesus Christ, then we know that we have access to his roots and the nutrients from his roots as well as the main branches of that family tree, which would be the Jews. So the Lord is telling us that even he in sternness, he's been stern and he will be stern to those who fall, but those who continue, those who are consistent in their belief, those who are consistently faithful, those who serve, those who are provided and they'll have the continued kindness. So we're seeing that we don't escape discipline, just like in parenting and raising our children. It's not good not to discipline our children, but as we discipline our children, we still extend them kindness, even after the discipline. So as we've been engrafted in, again, for God is able to graft them in again. So those that come into unbelief and those that fall, the Lord can bring them in again. He can bring them in again. And that's where repentance comes in. So praise the Lord. Brother John, should I go on and read up a little further? Because, you know, I love context clues.
Go ahead. I'm hoping that we're clear here and I can understand working properly in spite of all these difficulties we've had.
I hope you can hear me. So I'm going to go back. Remember, we're talking about the engrafted branches. And I think what I'm going to do is read all of Romans 11:11 to 11:24. And again, I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Again, I say, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches to the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So if some of the branches have been cut off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. Amen, amen. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. See, remember the illustration of the grafting. In order to engraft that peach tree into the apple tree, you have to get it to where you have to cut into the tree so that you get in to the core of the tree, into the body of the tree. It has to be cut. And the piece that's engrafted in has to be cut too, so that you have the bark off of it, so that the sap and the nutrients from the root can go into both of them. So it's like, or if we think about skin graft, even with skin graft, you can't graft a piece of skin on the outer part of skin, the graft on the outer part of the body, and expect it to take. You have to cut, you have to remove skin. It has to be down to the flesh so that the blood can intertwine. And that's a lesson right there, talking about the blood and the body. Amen, amen. I'm going to start shouting up in here. Up in this piece, as the kids say. So granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be ignorant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. So we should not take that for granted. And very often, people will take it for granted. Like even the Jews, well, I'm the chosen people. Well, I don't have to do so-and-so. It can be very arrogant. And that's how we got in, praise God. But we see that they have been, that some of them have been cut off. They've been cut off. And you can think about Christians and their arrogancy around other people that will do the exact same thing, not learning the lesson from those who've gone before us. So it says then, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you are cut off of any olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to the nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more steadily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Praise God. Praise God. That's a good word.
Amen.
That's a good word. Praise God.
I'll follow up on this as far as, we're taking God's mercy for granted. Taking God's mercy for granted. And what I see here is that it's saying that we should be steadfast. We should be steadfast and obedient to the word and not taking his mercy for granted. If we're not obedient to the word of God, then therefore we will end up cut off.
Yeah.
We will end up cut off. And the simple piece that I hear is obedience to the word of God. Following his word and being steadfast, immovable, not allowing anyone or anything to move us from our belief in God.
We have to be so careful, because sometimes people, when they, especially when you get saved and some denominations get caught up in religiosity, they get so caught up in tradition and the rules and the behaviors of a certain group but they miss out and they leave people out. They alienate people, and that's hurtful. People leave with their feelings hurt. People leave. People are operating in things that God hadn't desired. So we can have churches divided and making that church experience very hurtful and painful for a lot of people just because they're trying to be perfect. And they're thinking that their works and the way they act, you know, the things, the way they carry themselves, the way they dress, the way they act, the words that they say, you know, that that's what's going to get them to heaven and that's what makes them a Christian, without understanding it's not the word, you know. It's not all that, it's not that that religiosity or Christianese, as some folks want to say, you know, that we always did it that way and that's the way we always going to do it. It's not about performance and rituals. It's about having a relationship with the Lord and being kind and merciful to your brethren, to people, to human beings. Our God is a God of relationship. Our God is a God of relationship from the very beginning. His desire was to have a relationship with Adam and Eve, a relationship with mankind. We're made in his image, and our desires are the same. And he's given us example upon example upon example in so many ways, especially like the example of family, the examples of marriage, on how relationships are supposed to be and how order, you know, the order of things, the order in these relationships. But we keep getting it wrong. After 2,000 years, you think we get it right. But we continue to stumble. We continue to stumble. So we have to really practice kindness. Brother Norm, did you have something to say?
I just want to add along to what you're saying. That we have to have a relationship with God. We want to do God's will, not our will. As far as the graph and, you know, the two trees together, the fruit we bear, we want to make sure it's good fruit. And we have to keep that in mind. We're doing God's will. We're in association, and we're building people up. We're helping to follow the light, God, which is God's will, not to fall into darkness or to stumble or cause other people to stumble. We have to stay steadfast and strong.
Amen, amen, amen. If you're listening and you want to be a part of this conversation, the live conversation, if you press 1 on your dial, on your phone, I guess we don't have dials anymore, do we? If you would press the number 1, if you press number 1, we will see it and alert us on this message board and we'll let you into the conversation. Otherwise, we're going to continue. I want to read this one section because it goes into what we were saying about kindness and about in the church and dealing with one another in relationships. And I know that we've discussed love already. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but if we could just go back to Romans 12:9, and I'm going to read from 9-21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Overcoming evil with, that's a state of mind. David having a state of mind of treating everyone the way that you would like.
Amen. Amen. To walk in forgiveness continuously.
And by human nature, that's just truly a challenge.
It's a challenge.
But I use the word human nature. We want to Christian God-like nature. That's the direction we want to go. And we want to move to a higher level, a spiritual level. It was telling us to treat, follow God's will and treat others with love the way we would want to be treated.
Right.
Not to pay hatred, with hatred.
Mm-hmm.
To get above that. Amen. 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 Brother John, did you want to go to the next scripture?
And the next scripture is what?
2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians.
About where it is, so turn right from Romans and 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6:6.
And my Bible reads as such. By purely knowledge, by long suffering of kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love on the saints, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love on the faith.
Amen. So what does that mean?
Well, I see this here. Anon, did you want to make a comment before I do?
Come to go first, but I'll add on.
When I look at here in terms of by pureness, Paul was looking at in terms of our attitude and the way others saw us. If we are going to move forward in the ministry, people have to see us as sincere, genuine as to what we are doing. And as we're moving forward in the ministry, then the piece of knowledge where when we are speaking the truth to others, because during that time, if you remember, during that time, there was a lot of false doctrine at that time. And God and Paul believed that knowing, having the knowledge and spreading the knowledge to others so that they knew the truth, so that they knew the word. And so when I see that pureness and by knowledge and by long suffering and kindness, treating others kind, treating one another kind. Long-suffering is the goodness of God. Knowing God is always going to be there, treating others with time. So when he went through the ministry, he felt that in order for the ministry to do well, then he had to treat everyone with kindness. He had to treat everyone with kindness when he is speaking of the gospel, talking to the gospel. He could not say, I'm going to share the word with the Jews and not the Gentiles, or I'm not going to spread the word to the Gentiles and not the Jews. And what he's saying here is that everyone should be treated with kindness. It didn't make a difference who you were.
Amen.
And then also, speaking of pureness, what's at heart, what's really inside you, and the avoidance of it, like hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing something else. You speak of love if you love one person and you think that's God's will, but then you express or demonstrate hatred toward somebody else, you're serving as a stumbling block, and you have to do the walk as well as the talk. And this has to be something that's really appearing it within you. So we have to be very careful about the things we say, the things that we do. If we're spreading the gospel, we're not spreading the gospel by our actions, by our words, by the purity of our heart. How we treat people. How we love people.
Amen. Now, how can you go around preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, and yet not having an attitude or getting an attitude and not being gentle to others because of the way that we make mistakes? How can we do this? How can we not have a gentle attitude toward everyone that we are speaking the word to? And not only that, how can we spread the good news and we don't know what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, everyone was caught up during that time because mm-hmm. of the false science teaching at that time. And he believed in terms of the pureness and having the knowledge of the goodness of God and treating everyone with gentleness and kindness. Not getting an attitude, not having an attitude, but a gentle spirit.
And Paul wanted to show that his ministry was authentic, that he wasn't just playing church. This was the real thing. This is the message for us to go by Tuesday. No matter what happens, you have to be consistent in your relationship with the Lord and consistent with the way that you live within the business. So even though the ministry, you know, things may be challenged, but your fervor should be the same.
Amen.
But your fervor should be the same.
Amen.
All right. I hope you're not getting it. The feedback. Yeah. I hope that didn't work recording. Back to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. It says that if we go to 6:3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path. And this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. So he didn't want any gossip, no backlash, no, like we have today, what do you call it, scandal, you know, no ministry scandal, no news report for those who are looking for something wrong. I'm going to do everything upright and above board. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in trouble, hardship, and distresses, in beating, imprisonment, and riot, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostor, known yet regarded as unknown,
dying, and yet we live on. Beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you.
Amen. Brother John?
Amen. God just still right back to, you know, just with the gospel. In order for the gospel to spread, and we have to, you know, as Brother Noah understands, you know, how we act one to another and how we treat others makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Amen.
And listen to how that also goes in my learning as well through the Bible, Bible study, association, and then action.
Yeah. That's why it's important. With Bible studies, it's so important to come together to study the Word of God and learn more about the Word or have gain more knowledge in the Word of God, because that becomes a blessing to others as we spread the gospel. As we spread the gospel, we become confident in what we say to others, and it's not only by what we say, but how we say it, saying it with conviction. And when you or when anyone is speaking of something, they're confident, people can pick that up. People know that.
That's right.
People know that. People know if you are serious, they know that if you are confident, people know if you know the Word, if you know the Word of God, if you're speaking the truth. That comes out. That comes out, and it makes all the difference in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are looking at Ephesians, our next scripture is Ephesians 2:7 is our next scripture. That praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:7. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:7. Again, as Sister Suzanne has mentioned, if you would like to share in the Bible, interactive Bible study, don't hesitate to press the number one, and so we can open up the mics and you can share with us what the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:7. Brother Noah, did you want to read that? You want to share that? Ephesians 2:7.
Sure. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For every day as well. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen. 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 I definitely like that piece where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And when I see that, I just think of the mercy of God. The mercy of God.
Amen.
I think of the mercy of God.
And that also being a gift.
Amen.
Gift, and also by faith. And faith is demonstrated by our things not things that are not seen. You know, we have faith that this is, you know, that you know, we haven't seen God, but we have faith that He exists.
Amen.
And His principles and His will.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see if this person from area code 574 has anything to say. Hello, 574. Do you want to add to our talk? 574?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, Mom.
Hi.
I was just sitting here listening to the word and just enjoying what God is saying. And I think it's so important that we as the body of Christ understand that love is not just an action. You know, it's not just an action. There are some words that come along with that. But if I say I love you, my actions ought to follow that. If I say that we are a part of the body of Christ, we are family, which means we are helpers one to another. So if I'm down and you can see me down, instead of looking down on me, you should be reaching a hand to help me up.
Amen.
Because when we get to the point that we become that body, then can Jesus finally return.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's waiting for us to get to the point of what the scripture is saying. To get to the place where we don't just love in action, in words only, rather, but in action. You know, St. Louis, they call the show me state. They call it show me state. So we got to show something. Can't just be saying it. And then expect God to bless us and we're just saying it without any action behind it.
Amen.
With every miracle that Jesus performed, it wasn't just words that he said. There was some action to it. The man by the pool of Bethesda who laid there 38 years, no one had love or compassion for him, even though they seen him laying there. But Jesus comes by one day, and he asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? And his response was, I have no one to help me in. Even when someone is trying to help us, we sometimes miss the help because we take it as a shot to our ego. Instead of as a helping hand.
Yes.
So when he got to the point that he realized, well, this man must really want to see me get to the place I need to be. And then Jesus says to him, rise, pick up your bed and walk. He said, when he tells him to rise, he tells him to get up from the place that you've been in. But not only do I want you to get up, I want you to carry what has been holding you in this spot. I want you to take this place, this moment right here with you to show others that this is what love looks like. When Peter was healing the people of God in his shadow, to one man he said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money to give you, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And I believe that that's what we're lacking in the body of Christ. We don't want to give anything, but we expect everything. We go to God and give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Instead of giving back to him something. It's a give and take. If you don't make a deposit into your bank account, you can't expect to withdraw anything.
That's right.
So as the body of Christ, we need to start making some deposits into one another so that we can receive the return that God has promised us because we're helpers one to another.
Amen.
Amen.
where I lack at, Brother John can help. Where he lacks, I can help him.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. But because we let how we feel, we let our emotions, we let the hurts of the past get in the way. So now we don't do the things that God commanded us to do. And the
That's
number
right.
one thing that he helped us to do was to love one another.
Amen.
Don't just
Amen.
Give me
Amen.
Lip service. I want to see some action.
Yes.
And I believe that that's what God is saying to us now through this word that he has impressed upon the heart of the man of God and the woman of God to release to the atmosphere. Because we need to get back to the place where love abounds from heart to heart and breast to breast.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They used to have a saying when I was little, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
But it also takes a village to keep a family together.
Amen.
That's all I have.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Reese, since you just talked about that, about keeping families together, we need to think about, even with the marriage vows, when a couple says their marriage vows and they're in front of witnesses, the witnesses are there not only to enjoy the party, but the witnesses are there to stand with the couple and I believe that even in I know with John and I, with our covenant ceremony, the witnesses were called to support us as a couple, you know, to support us as a couple, that life doesn't, like our pastor says, life isn't a straight line. You know, life is with ups and downs and challenges and character building episodes and tests, you know, and as you go through that, sometimes you need a tutor. Sometimes you need someone to teach you, you know, to guide you. And sometimes you just need some people to celebrate and to cheer you on. And that's what those witnesses and people that, you know, families are supposed to do for couples and for, you know, for the people in the family, to keep a family together.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm
glad to see this number pop up.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
Praise the Lord.
For those of you that are listening, this is Minister David Reese from Indiana, and he has done a show for us. If you go back in the archives, you'll see a couple of times where he's spoken, just, you know, joined in the conversation. But there's a teaching that he led for us a few months ago. So if you want to hear him, he's a powerful young man of God. So he brings a nice youthful perspective. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
I appreciate that. Let's look at our next scripture. We talked about, let's see, we did 2 Corinthians 6:6 and Ephesians 2:7. Can we look at Colossians 3:12, please? Remember, God, the electric power company. So Colossians is to the right of Ephesians, right after it. And that's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And it reads, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." There you go, Brother Reese.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I just read this in the Amplified Bible?
Sure.
This is what it says, verse 12. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, excuse me, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and that piece, you know, just to add on, we belong to the same body. We have been redeemed by the same blood and chosen by the same grace. And we are all brethren in Christ. And so, therefore, we must have the same kindred spirit one to another. And that's gentleness and love one to another. So when I see that, that's what, you know, speaks to my spirit in terms of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know, we all should have that. We all should show that one for another. You know, those are, you know, almost like the fruits of the spirit, you know, that we're supposed to have as we walk, you know, in brotherly love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any more comments out there? Brother Norm, what is the scripture speaking to you as you read?
Well, I think the demonstration of pure love, unconditional, and the way you guys will also look very uplift and help people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We're actually to spread the gospel, the good news.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. To let the peace of, it goes on to say, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace.
Amen.
To peace, to love.
Members of one body. We are all members of one body. We're members. We have all been redeemed by the blood of Christ. All of us by the same blood of Christ. One body, one church.
Amen.
Amen. And in mind it says, put on therefore as the elect of God. You know, when I hear the word elect, I think of chosen. Chosen by God. Saved by his blood. I mean, redeemed by his blood and saved by his grace. And he didn't have to save. She didn't have to save us while we were in sin.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do that, but chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give up a gift. And it is a gift.
Amen.
It was given to us. The responsibility we have is to accept the gift.
Amen.
To receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Our next scripture comes from Titus. And Titus, the book of Titus is talking about how we should conduct ourselves. Like the first chapter talks about reliable leaders and what a reliable leader, what are the characteristics of a reliable leader. And the second chapter talks about sound doctrine. But the third chapter, which is where we're going, is about doing good. About doing good. So if we could turn to Titus 3, please. And in Titus 3, verse 4, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Wow. Wow. I'm going to go on. This is a trustworthy thing, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Everyone. Mm. Minister Reese, do you have that in the Amplified? Are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here. Which verse is that?
That is Titus 3, verse 4 to 7.
4 to 7, okay. Oh, and that previous scripture was actually in the book of Philippians and not in Colossians. I do apologize for that error.
Okay.
Verse 7. And he did it in order that we...
Oh, start at verse 4, please.
Oh, verse 4?
Yes, please.
Okay. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, to man as man appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy, by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he did it in order that we, might be justified by his grace, by his favor, wholly undeserved, that we may be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, and that we might become heirs of eternal life according to our hope.
Amen.
Verse 8, this message is most trustworthy. And concerning these things, I want you to insist steadfastly so that those who have believed in, trusted in, relied on God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and to doing good. For such things are not only excellent and right in themselves, but they are good and profitable for the people.
Amen.
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 Mm.
Amen. So now how does that apply to us today? You may want to think like this, like in what situation are you most likely not to show your faith? Is it when, if you get in a car accident or someone cuts you off on the highway or you're in the checkout line and the line is moving real slow or you have a flat tire? Or someone says something to you that doesn't really rub you the right way, or you just had a tough exam at school, or better yet, you had a tough exam and you get your grade back, and it's not what you needed. You know, if you're at that company picnic or playing a game, playing baseball, basketball with your buddies, and things don't really go right, or you know, when you think about times when you have an opportunity to do good, but your behavior may be contrary to that, to the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to remember that to display kindness and love of God and to carry it with us all the time. Like the scripture that says, walk circumspectly. I hope I have a right interpretation or leading with this scripture. What do you think? What do you all think?
I agree with you. I think we have to be introspective of ourselves and our actions, and if we're doing God's will. And we're going to be faced with challenges. People may say things or try to be a barrier to you doing God's will. And they're agents of Satan. And you have to, you know, remember God is with you and go forward. Because you have a very holy, very, very powerful a force or spirit behind you. You cannot lose. And that person is trying to cause you to lose your temper or come out of your Christianity, you have to deal with that in an appropriate manner.
Amen.
So we're going to be facing challenges, but how do we deal with those challenges?
Right, right. I remember when the girls were in Glory Girls, which was like Christian Girl Scouts, one of the speakers that they had talked about that being a Christian is like being a tea bag, and she demonstrated with a tea bag, and she took it out of the package, and of course the package says what it is, so let's just say it was jasmine tea. It says that, but you really don't know that it's jasmine tea until it gets into hot water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how you know that, yeah, that was jasmine tea in that bag.
Mm-hmm.
So with Christians, is, you know, she was saying that you can be all night and nice and wrapped up in a nice package, but you got to open the package sometime in order to really find out what's inside. And so when we're in hot water, that's what tells the story of what's, you know, what we're made of.
What flavor and what strength we are.
Exactly, exactly. So in hot water, that's when we can. That's when we are challenged to exercise our faith.
And oftentimes, in more hot water, we're not comfortable.
Absolutely.
And that's when we really are faced with the challenge.
Absolutely. The verse 9 says, "But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless." It says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. And after that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So those people that are always... that are argumentative, that you can't, there's no reasoning with them. They look for the problem, not the solution. You know, there's no reasoning with them. There's no getting through to them. And the Lord says to just back off.
Well, I think it's going to hindrance you.
Absolutely.
To do that as well.
Absolutely. Or behave in a way that's Christ-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, challenging that tea bag. Amen, amen,
amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. So where are you now, Brother John?
I think that was actually the
last. Did you have anything to say on that one?
Picture. No, I'm just basically... I'm just feeding off of what everybody else is saying.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go back then, if we have time, to doing what is good, because in Titus, like I said, it's talking about it. It's, Titus is only three chapters, and it's such short chapters that, like, when we talk about Bible study and to learn how to study the Bible, this is one chapter that a lot of people start off with, because it's giving us instruction. And in Titus, like I said, the first book talks about what makes a reliable leader. The second book, the first book talks about your leadership and so forth, and then the second book talks about sound doctrine, and the third one is doing good. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start at the beginning of the third chapter, because it's really something that we need to think about. And actually in 2 also, because I believe it's Titus 2. Is it Titus 2 that talks about teaching young women, to train young women and to about wives to love their husbands and children and be self-controlled, I believe it is. But those are good scriptures for the family and for the church, for the body of Christ, and our church family and our natural family and our household. But in 3, it says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. And I think that those 2 verses are very timely, especially when we look at the wickedness today in the news, and when we talk about our in government, the way that people disrespect the ministers in the church and the president and our leaders that God has put in place to lead our country by not respecting them, by not giving them their place, the honor that they're due. And that's something that we are to do. And we as Christians are called to pray for our leadership in all ways. And then slander, to understand that gossip and talking about people, you know, is slanderous. It's behind your back, is slanderous. So if you can't say it to someone's face, don't say it. And if it's something that that's not approved, you know, something that that wouldn't bless God, then we shouldn't be saying it anyway. And at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hated one another. But when the kindness, and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogy. And arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. And after that, having nothing to do with him, you may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. And his final remarks were, as soon as I send Artemis and Tychius to you, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can do to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. And it goes on, but this is the letter that Paul wrote, right? This is from Paul? Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Brothers, somebody? Yes, this is from the Apostle Paul. Amen, amen, amen. Any comments? I know I get carried away reading it, but I think that that when we read, we can hear the characteristics of the time, and it helps with our historical background, knowing who was saying it and why, and what for, and about the people in society at that time.
And what challenges they were actually faced with.
Absolutely.
And you can compare the challenges we're faced with.
Absolutely. That's right.
Our conduct makes all the difference in the world in terms of how we speak to each other. And what comes out of our mouth and here is speaking in terms of we are to speak no evil to any man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are basically, we talked earlier in terms of showing a gentle spirit to
mm-hmm.
everyone.
Amen.
You know, showing meekness unto all men, a gentleness, a spirit.
and how we treat one another, and at all, as simple as was said before, you know, it's out of love, one for another. The greatest gift that we have is love, one for another.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I mean, very important that we always remember.
Yeah.
To live our lives.
Yeah.
You know, I look at three, you know, and it just speaks of in terms of where we came from. Where we came from, but we ourselves also were once foolish,
mm-hmm.
disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, and living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's just the total opposite, you know, of what God says we are to conduct ourselves in the body of Christ.
Amen. Well, it looks like we only have 4 minutes, a little over 4 minutes left, and this has been a great discussion. So I appreciate everyone that's listening. I hope those who listen in the archives get a, you know, are blessed by it. Our memory verse this evening was Romans 11:22, and Romans 11:22 says, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Again, that's Romans 11:22. Just a rhetorical question that you can ask yourself. Ask yourself in self-evaluation, am I a boastful person? Am I proud? Presumptuous? What does the Word of God say about those traits? And how do these traits take away from godly kindness? Are you close in kindness? What would others say? If they were looking through the Jahari window, what would they say? You may see yourself one way, but what would other people say? What does the Lord say? Do you ever look at others and think, I'm better than them? Or did God save you because of your righteousness? Should you judge others based on their righteousness? A lot to think about. How can you teach someone else about the kindness of God? Well, we thank you for listening to us this evening. It's been a wonderful time, and I can't believe it's been an hour and a half. But we're closing down, and we won't talk to you again until next Wednesday.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we'll be here at the same time every Wednesday at 7 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and the title of our radio program is Begin Again, and we'd like to close in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Father, that for the word that's gone forth, dear Lord. We pray, Father God, for each and every family around this table, Father God, and around their computer or their radio or their telephone, Father God, that each and every family will be blessed. Bless their households, Father. I thank you, Lord, as they prepare for their evening, Father God, that you will bless them, that the Holy Spirit will completely fill each and every room of their place, Father God, that there will be a spirit of peace, Father God, to come over them. I thank you, Father God, that you whisper prayers, Father God, whisper blessings, Father God, and praises of you, Father God, as they go about their evening, dear Lord, and that tonight, Father God, when they lay their heads on their pillows, Father God, that their sleep will be sweet, Father God, that it would be rejuvenative, Father God, that you would speak to them even in their dreams, Father God, that they would know that they are loved. We praise you, Father, for this time this evening. We thank you, Father, for the word. We pray, Father God, that it was pleasing before you, Father God, that our interpretation and that it was rightly divided. We thank you, dear Lord, for using us at this time, Father God, and beyond. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we praise you because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because you are our God, our Heavenly Father, and we love you so much. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And that